by the way, we know that the big pharma is not stopping, right? They're going to be coming out with more mRNA-based lipid nanoparticles technology delivery system shots in the coming years. Next year, I think they want to do a flu shot, an RSV shot, a shingle shot, all using the same technology. And if this technology is indeed what's causing these clots, then we've got a major disaster in our hands, you know.
Everyone, welcome to another episode of Unrestricted. I'm your host, Veronica Kirilenko. A disturbing phenomenon of fibrous blood clots that embalmers started to report on in 2021 has not yet gone away. That is according to the Worldwide Embalmer Blood Clot Surveys conducted by Tom Haviland, a retired Air Force veteran with backgrounds in electrical engineering and data analysis, who joins me now. Tom, welcome. Thank you so much for being here.
Veronica, thanks for having me on the show.
Yes, that's a pleasure and honor, sir. First of all, on behalf of the New American editorial team, I thank you so much for submitting the article about the surveys to our magazine, and that piece generated a lot of interest among our readers. So let's start off this conversation with examining your motivation to conduct the surveys regarding blood clots, a topic that falls well outside of your usual area of expertise.
Yeah, I was a defense contractor. I have a retired Air Force major, did 20 years in the U.S. Air Force. I was on my 16th year as a defense contractor working with the Air Force. I was working at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base, Ohio. It's in Dayton, Ohio. And my career came to an abrupt halt, Veronica, in October of 2021 when Joe Biden came out with the vaccine mandates for not just the military, but also the government civilians and us defense contractors that were working at the base as well. Mm-hmm. So I decided that time, I had taken a look at data that had come out of the UK. Our own CDC was not putting out very good information, but Public Health England, their counterpart to the CDC over in the UK, was putting out good information, and they had a document called Public Health England SARS-CoV-2 Variants of Concern. Okay. They put out a technical briefing every couple of weeks. And in their technical briefing 23, that's dated September 17th of 2021, there was a table 5 in that document that showed hundreds of thousands of breakthrough cases of COVID amongst the fully vaccinated of the Delta variant by that time of the year. So it was quite clear that the shots were not stopping people from either catching or transmitting the virus. Also, I felt it was unethical as well. I knew that the shot was an experimental shot using a new technology, mRNA technology with lipid nanoparticle technology, and it violated every tenet of the Nuremberg Code. You know, they didn't know the duration of the experiment.
Hold on, sir.
They didn't know.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but I think the DOD imposed the mandate precisely because the FDA granted a full authorization of these shots.
Yes, they did.
Okay.
I think they did that.
But they didn't change the formula.
Yes.
Did they?
So based upon ethical reasons and the data that I was seeing at that time, remember, it was also early in the year, they had paused the J&J shot because of blood clotting problems, particularly in pregnant women. So I suspected there were going to be some other side effects coming up as well. So I decided I didn't want to take it. In fact, I went out with a little bit of a bang, Veronica. A three-star Air Force general had sent an email out to the entire base telling everybody when they had to get the shots by or else get kicked out. Mm. And I sent him back an email, Veronica. And in the email, I said, shame on you. Remember, this is an Air Force three-star general. I said, shame on you for not standing up for our right to decide for ourselves whether or not to take an experimental drug. You know, you spent your time trying to guilt us into taking it. Shame on you. And I didn't just send that email to him, Veronica. I CC'd all 30,000 people that work at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base, Ohio. It's the largest single-site employer in the state of Ohio.
What kind of response have you received?
Well, I knew what was going to happen. I got a call a half hour later from the company I worked for my boss, and I was fired from my $165,000 a year job as an electrical engineer for shaming the three-star Air Force general in front of the entire base. You know, but somebody had to do it. None of the colonels, none of the generals were pushing back on these unlawful mandates. So I felt it was, and I was in a fortunate position. I was 61 at the time. I was already drawing a retired Air Force major salary for my 20 years in the Air Force, and I was only a year away from getting Social Security early, so I could afford to tell them to go pound sand. But a lot of guys and gals in the Air Force, they couldn't do that, right? They had 10, 15 years in the service. They would lose their multi-million dollar retirement if they refused to take the shot. Uh-huh. So a lot of them were coerced into taking it, And that's unfortunate because I think as the data from my survey shows, for these white fibrous clots are just one of the side effects, I believe, that are happening. You know, like, correlation is not necessarily causation. You can't say for sure it's from the vaccine. But boy, it's kind of strange the timing of when these clots started right after the vaccines rolled out. So
when did you decide to reach out to embalmers regarding these clots that you just
Yeah, showed? So it was a blessing in a way when I got fired, because that actually gave me the time, as now that I'm retired, that I was able to take on these surveys that I did. And I was, you know, looking at things that were happening. I was obviously interested in what was going on with the vaccines, whether there were any problems with them, side effects, etc. So I watched that movie Died Suddenly, the night that it premiered. People can still find it on Rumble. If your audience isn't familiar with it, it's an hour-long documentary. You can find it on Rumble. And about half the movie is devoted to these six or seven embalmers that said they were finding these strange white fibrous clots in their corpses. So, you know, I almost didn't watch the movie, Veronica, because when it started, it was like Bigfoot at the beginning and the moon landing. I said, what's going on here? This is kind of kooky. But I'm glad I stayed with the film, because at the 13-minute and 15-second mark, an amazing statement was made. An embalmer from the state of Indiana, Mr. Wallace Hooker, was lecturing at an Ohio Embalmers Association conference in Columbus, Ohio, on the 26th of October in 2022. And he was lecturing to a room of about 100 embalmers. And he showed them photographs of these white fibrous clots that he'd been pulling out of his corpses for the last couple of years. And he said, by a show of hands, how many of you are seeing these same white fibrous clots? Well, Veronica, he said almost the entire room of 100 embalmers raised their hands yes.
Yes.
He then asked him, well, when did you start seeing them? And they all kind of agreed it was in the middle of 2021, about 6 months after the COVID-19 vaccines rolled out. So I know there's some other problems in that movie. There was some footage, I believe, in the movie that was taken pre-COVID, mm-hmm. and the film was trashed for that. But I thought that was an amazing statement, and that's what I locked onto. You know, regardless of what else happened in that film, either that statement's true or false, right? Either those embalmers raised their hands or they didn't. So I got up the next morning, it was a Tuesday of the week of Thanksgiving of 2022, and I said to myself, you know, I don't think any reporter is going to chase after this story. So I called the Ohio Embalmers Association. They're located in Cincinnati, Ohio. And I talked to their president, Mr. Dan Becker, their vice president, Mr. Woody Wilson, and their secretary, Mr. David Hicks. And I asked all three gentlemen, did you happen to be in the room at the time those 100 embalmers supposedly raised their hands saying yes, they're, you know, seeing these clots? Well, none of the three of them happened to be in the room at the time, Veronica. However, the vice president, Mr. Woody Wilson, who runs his own funeral home up in Marysville, Ohio. By the way, Woody is now the president of the Ohio Embalmers Association. He's been promoted to president. But at that time, he was the second vice president. He runs his own funeral home in Marysville, Ohio, and he does his own embalming. A lot of funeral home directors do their own embalming. Woody said, Tom, I'm seeing the white fibrous clots too. So I said, wow, this is big, right? Now I have an official officer from the Ohio Embalmers Association corroborating these six or seven embalmers in this Died Suddenly movie, saying that he's seen the clots too. So right there and then I decided I needed to do a nationwide survey, which I later then turned into a worldwide survey by including Canada, UK, Australia, and New Zealand to see just how big this phenomenon was. And I worked with a nice woman, a friend of mine from Northeastern Ohio, Laura Kasner, who just happens to be an expert in SurveyMonkey. So that's the tool that we use to conduct the survey. So the first thing I had to do is develop questions. For the first survey, I had seven questions in that survey. And the most recent survey I just completed a couple months ago, there were 12 questions to it. But the questions centered around things that the embalmers could answer. You know, what are you seeing? When did you see it? And how much are you seeing? I tried to keep the both of my first and second survey as unbiased as possible. At no point in the instructions to either survey do I ever mention the words COVID or COVID vaccine. Nor do I ask the embalmers any questions about how the clots are forming. They're not qualified to answer how or why the clots are forming. But they can't tell you what they're seeing, right? Are you seeing the clots? When did you first start seeing them? Or are you still seeing them now? And then how much? What percentage of your corpses contain these clots? Well, what I had to do next then, Veronica, is just determine how to distribute the survey, how to get it out to as many active embalmers as possible to take. So I used a two-prong approach. I used a top-down approach by sending an email with the link to the survey to 50 national, regional, and state funeral director associations around the world. Here in the U.S., for example, I picked the top 30 U.S. states by population, and I sent to their funeral director associations. And that in and of itself was pretty unbiased because of the large states. You know, I sent to states like Ohio, Florida, and Texas, which are red states. You know, I also sent it to California, Illinois, Massachusetts, states that are thought of as blue states as well. So I didn't want to have any red or blue state bias. But I said, use that top-down approach, you know, sending it to those funeral director associations, each with hundreds of member funeral directors and embalmers under those associations. So I asked those presidents, please distribute the survey out that way. But then I also used a bottom-up approach, Veronica. I looked up the email addresses for over 1,700 funeral homes around the world.
Wow.
It took a little time, yeah. And I sent the survey, the link to it, directly to them, asking those funeral directors to, you know, of those funeral homes to have their embalmers take the survey. So,
Tom, what can you say about the response rate? How many surveys did you send out, and how many embalmers took their time to participate? So I understand there were two surveys, one in 2002 and then one in 2023, right?
Yeah, the first, well, I sent them, both surveys were sent out to the same identical batch of people. So like I said, 1,700 funeral homes around the world. So that would hopefully be at least 1,700 embalmers there. And then the funeral director associations, the 50 funeral, each with hundreds of members under them, that would probably be another, you know, 3,000-4,000 embalmers. So if everybody would have responded, I would have gotten 4,000 to 5,000 responses, right? But in the first survey, very few responded because I think there's a pressure, and I think the embalmer sensed it, right? That there might be something going on here in terms of the survey, in terms of trying to determine whether or not the COVID-19 vaccines might be a cause or not. So in the first survey, I got 179 responses to the first survey from embalmers all over the world. And of those, 119, Veronica, 66%, almost exactly two-thirds, said they were indeed finding these white fibrous clots in their corpses up through the year 2022. And the next main question is, well, when did you first start seeing these clots? And that was an interesting question. Of the 119 who said that they saw the clots, there were 44 of them that said they started seeing the clots in the year 2020, which is the year that we had COVID, but no vaccines yet. So to me, this makes sense because, as we all know, there is a spike protein on the surface of the virus itself. And that spike protein can lead to the formation of what's called amyloid proteins, AMYLOID, which is just a fancy term for misshaped or misfolded protein. We all have an enzyme in our body called plasmin that's used to break down normal clotting when it happens in the body. But if the clot is misshapenly folded, it becomes difficult for that enzyme plasmin to attach. So then the clots tend to grow and persist. The scientists that I've talked to, though, believe that there may have been an exacerbation or a supercharging of that effect with the advent of the COVID-19 vaccines. As you know, the COVID-19 vaccines were supposed to stay in your deltoid muscle in your upper arm and produce just enough of the spike protein to elicit an immune response for just a couple days to a week and then leave your body. And then it has you ready for COVID if it comes, right? We know now that's not what happened at all. Those lipid nanoparticles take that vaccine all over the body, turning your whole body into a spike protein factory. And it's been found to be producing the spike protein for months at a time, not just a few days to a week. So the scientists that I talked to believe that it has supercharged the formation of these white fibrous clots that then can eventually grow to a size where they cause a stroke or a heart attack. So, and that's what we saw from the embalmers when they answered that first survey. 90% of them or more saw the white fibrous clots in the years 2021 and 2022. As opposed to, you know, the smaller number that saw them in year 2020. So that kind of, it fits that theory.
And what were the numbers in the year for 2023?
In 2023, we had some good news. We had 269 responses to the survey, which was 90 more than we had the previous year. So we had more participation. Of the 269 embalmers that responded to our second survey that covered through the end of 2023, 197 of them, of the 269, which is 73%, we're still seeing the white fibrous clots in the year 2023. So that's not a good thing. The percentage of corpses containing the clots, by the way, in the first survey, it was an average of about 30% of the corpses. That was the most shocking result of that first survey that I didn't even anticipate. Was embalmers responded in the first survey said they were seeing the white fibrous clots in an average of 30% of their corpses, with some of the embalmers seeing them in up to 50% or more of their corpses. So these are not rare. This is a prevalent issue. And that was corroborated in the second survey as well. The good news is that went down from 30% average to 20%. But again, that may not be necessarily a vindication of the vaccine if you think about it. Because most Americans took their first two shots in 2021. About 80% of American adults over the age of 18, according to the CDC, took the primary series, the first two shots, way back in 2021. But only about 20% of American adults took the Omicron bivalent booster in the fall of 2022. And only about 10 to 15% of Americans took the XBB 1.5 booster that came out last fall of 2023. So you might expect, if the vaccine is the cause of these white fibrous clots, you might expect the percentage of corpses with them to go down as people get further and further away from their last jabs way back in 2021, you know, when most people took them. So that, to me, that's not necessarily a vindication of the vaccines. In fact, it might be an implication of them as a cause, you know, because once you remove the source of the cause of these, then less people are showing up with this. So,
right. In addition to that, your article also mentions the dirty blood findings, right? Can you talk about that, the coffee grounds in the blood?
Like I said, this year's survey, we actually added some additional questions based upon comments we had gotten the previous year from the embalmers. One of the things they've seen in their corpses as well is a phenomenon called, like I say, dirty blood. They also call it coffee grounds. As they're trying to drain the blood off the corpse and get the formaldehyde in, they're seeing now a lot of what looks like coffee grounds in the blood. So this could be an indication of a phenomenon called microclotting. And it can be just as dangerous as these large white fibrous clots that stroke you out and give you heart attacks. Microclotting occurs at the capillary level, your very small blood vessels, and it can block the exchange of oxygen at the lungs and then the carrying of that oxygen to all the other major organs of the body, you know, including the brain, including your eyes. You know, you have small capillaries in your eyes. So it could be just as dangerous a phenomenon. Well, the shocking thing is, Veronica, is in 2023, we asked the question to the embalmers, did you see this dirty blood microclotting phenomenon? 79% of the embalmers said they did. 212 of the 269 embalmers who responded to my second survey saw the coffee grounds dirty blood. And so the next natural question is, okay, what percentage of your corpses contain this? The average, Veronica, was 1 out of 4 corpses, 25%. Wow. With some of the embalmers seeing this phenomenon in up to 50% or more of their corpses. So again, not a rare phenomenon. Now, microclotting is something they used to see in the past. As opposed to these white fibrous clots, embalmers with 20 or 30 years of experience, they've never seen these in the past. And so this is a brand new phenomenon, the white fibrous clots are. And that could be validated. If you go back and look at a lot of the old medical textbooks, you won't find these white fibrous clots anywhere. You'll see only chicken fat clots and grape jelly clots. And grape jelly clots, they look just like grape jelly, dark grape jelly. They dissolve easily in your hands. And embalmers have been seeing those forever. They've also been seeing forever something called chicken fat clots, which are yellowish in color, smaller, and they tear very easily. Much, much different than these new white fibrous clots that are tough, rubbery, large, long, and hard to break even with forceps. Real stretchy, kind of rubber bandy.
Sophia paused before the door. It read, Department of Bi-Digital Convergence. Just inside was a new world, a better world, the one of everlasting life, of no pain, of no loss, of no problem. She entered the chamber and her surroundings changed. She saw around her an infinite field of waving golden grain surmounted by cloudless blue sky. The AI voice whispered gently in her mind, Welcome to the singularity. She couldn't see it and couldn't feel it. But her body had almost instantly been covered by a swarm of tiny gray multi-legged bots that melted through her clothes and into her skin. Not perceiving the nightmare, her eyes had already been consumed and the rest of her body was dissolving as the bots digested her flesh. She felt only a warmth suffusing her being. Drowsy, she drifted to sleep, and her last thought was one of panic. Would she ever wake? Could a nightmare vision like this be an outcome of the much-hyped transhumanist technological singularity? Enter the world of the future as illuminated by the experience of the past in Endgame. the new book by Dennis Barrett, the publisher of The New American Magazine, and find out how the disastrous COVID pandemic response fits with the technocratic elite's thirst to create a transhumanist utopia. Get Endgame from shopjbs.org with free shipping with code ENDSHIP, ENDSHIP. Or get Endgame and the Great Reset Collector's Issue of The New American Magazine and get free shipping plus an additional 20% off both with code END20, END20.
So,
wait, Tom, and I think regarding the microclotting, I believe that previously embalmers were seeing them predominantly in people who died because of cancer, right? Is it true?
Correct. Yeah. So they have seen the microclotting phenomenon, the dirty blood, before, but it was way less than 5% of their corpses, and that was usually, like you said, in chemotherapy patients. The fact that they're seeing it now, one out of every four corpses, 25% of their corpses, that means there's at least a quintupling of that phenomenon, right? So this is a brand new phenomenon, going from zero to 20% of corpses. And then the microclotting is a phenomenon that's going from less than 5% of corpses all the way up to 25% of corpses. So we've got some serious trouble going on here with the blood. And that's what the embalmers have told me, Veronica. One of their favorite phrases is the blood has changed, Tom. It's different now than it was in the years before COVID and the vaccines. So this is not a good situation.
These additional insights are extremely valuable. What have they told you? What have the embalmers, maybe morticians, funeral directors told you about so many additional observations that they were making?
They've also seen an increase, unfortunately, some of them have, in infant deaths. We asked this question this year, too, because a lot of embalmers were telling me that they've seen an increase in the number of infant deaths. And it's that the good news, I guess, Veronica, is in my survey, only 20% of the embalmers saw that. 80% of the embalmers said they did not see an increase in the year 2023 compared to the pre-COVID years. But 20% did, and those 20% that did saw an average of about a 20% increase in infant deaths. And one of the reasons I think that some of the embalmers may not have seen this phenomenon is a lot of the embalmers have told me that there seems to be a more pressure these days by hospitals to actually, they'll tell the parents, hey, we'll dispose of the remains of the child for you if you don't want to do that. So, you know, you can see where a couple that might be in shock would say, hey, you know, I just want this problem to go away, right? So obviously, if the hospital's taking care of it. And also, the embalmers also tell me there seem to be a lot more cremations these days. So if there's a cremation of a child that may have had some kind of damage due to the vaccine, then obviously that evidence is being destroyed with a cremation.
Can you talk about the standard practice when a healthy child dies? I think that the post-mortem examination is a standard procedure just to figure out what happened to this poor child.
I don't know about with births. I don't know what's how often there are autopsies. There's been, overall, with adults as well, there's been a shockingly lack of autopsies going on these days. And I'm not sure why that's occurring. You would think, if I was the parent of a 20 or 30 year old person, you know, and that person died suddenly and they were perfectly healthy, you know, wouldn't you want to know what caused that? I would, you know. So I'm shocked that there aren't more autopsies done of people like I said in their, you know, 20s, 30s that have died suddenly. It's amazing. It's almost like they don't want to go looking for the problem.
Tom, can you talk about your attempts to actually contact public health authorities and share the results of your survey with them?
Yeah, what was really interesting about that, Veronica, is it kind of revealed, I'll call it a mini scandal in a way. On this latest survey that I conducted, I started the survey on the 8th of December of 2023 and then ran it through the 8th of January for a full month. And I usually send out like three emails, one at the very beginning, one in the middle of the period saying, as a reminder, hey, if you haven't taken our survey yet, please take it. And then one about a week before I close the survey. Well, when I sent my first email out to the whole world, the 1,700 funeral homes and the 50 national, regional, and state funeral director associations, I checked my Survey Monkey collectors about 4 or 5 days in, and Veronica, I only had about 14 responses. I said, oh no, this is terrible. I need to get more responses than this. So I had a list of the 30 U.S. state funeral director associations I had sent the survey to, I knew who their presidents were, and I had their phone numbers. So I called each one of them that day, and I said, hey, I talked to either their president or their secretary or somebody else in their office. And I said, could you please forward that survey that I sent to you last week, you know, down to your embalmer so they can take the latest survey? Well, God bless the Pennsylvania Funeral Directors Association, Veronica. They did exactly as I asked. And I know that because I got up the next day and I had 93 responses of my SurveyMonkey collectors, and they were all from embalmers in one state, Pennsylvania.
Wow.
I then got up the next day and I had 32 more responses from embalmers, and they were all from Pennsylvania again. So in 2 days, I got 125 responses from embalmers in just one U.S. state, Pennsylvania. And they were a mix. You know, the 70%, for example, said, you know, they saw the clots, and 30% said they didn't. So it wasn't like there was, you know, all uniform in their responses.
Well, your article mentions that you tried to contact the CDC, the FDA, and the NIH. And what did they tell
yeah.
you?
Yeah. Going back to the funeral director associations first, though.
Okay.
That told me two things when I only got responses out of Pennsylvania. It told me, first of all, that embalmers, they want to tell you what they're seeing in the embalming room if they feel like they have the permission of their funeral director boss or the state funeral director association, right? Because I got 125 responses from embalmers in Pennsylvania in just 2 days. But remember, I also sent that to 29 other state funeral director associations who didn't, and that didn't happen. So that tells me they must have deleted my email. They must have suppressed it, not even forwarded it down to their embalmers to take in the first place. So I think there may be a couple reasons this is happening, Veronica. I think, first of all, a lot of these funeral director association presidents, they're funeral directors themselves. They usually elect one of their own as the president of their organization. Well, would you want to participate in a survey that might show a link between these white fibrous clots, microclotting, and these other clotting issues that might show a link between that and the COVID-19 vaccines if you mandated that all the employees of your funeral home, including your embalmer, get the COVID-19 vaccine, yeah. right? If anybody gets injured, you might be setting yourself up for a lawsuit. Also, as I mentioned earlier, 80% of these funeral director association presidents were probably jabbed themselves, right? Because about 80% of Americans took. So there might be a little cognitive dissonance at a personal level going on. They may not want to know the answer to the survey if they've already taken the shots themselves, you know, if
but you designed this survey in order to avoid this kind of bias or to trigger any political maybe reactions to vaccinations.
Right. And there's a fear there too, right? They see doctors getting their licenses pulled, their board certifications taken away. So you're right. There's a lot of, hey, I just don't want to rock the boat. You know, if you're an embalmer working in a funeral home, you just want to do your job. You want to keep your job. By the way, business is good these days because you know, excess mortality is up 10% in highly vaccinated countries. While, as, by the way, countries in Africa, for example, that have very little uptake on the jabs, they have no problems with excess mortality the last 3 years. That should tell people something. So getting back to what you mentioned a couple minutes ago about sending the information to the FDA, CDC, and NIH, when I had the results of my first survey done last year, I sent them to the FDA in time for a meeting of their Vaccine and Related Biological Products Advisory Committee. They had a meeting on the 26th of January of 2023. I actually asked to speak at that meeting. They had an hour set aside to the public for oral presentations, and they gave 20 speakers 3 minutes apiece, but I was not selected as one of the 20 speakers, unfortunately. But I did submit all my information in a written format, and I did get a tracking number from the FDA, Veronica. So they cannot come back now and say that they didn't know about the results of my survey. So, but throughout the entire year, last year, 2023, I was never contacted once by the FDA nor the CDC about the results of my survey. Like I said, which shockingly showed a temporal correlation between the COVID-19 vaccines and the first appearance of these strange and unusual white fibrous clots that embalmers with 30 years of experience have never seen before.
Mm-hmm.
And the prevalence of them too, you know, 30% last year, now 20% this year. So I did the same thing again this year when I had this latest survey finished on the 8th of January of this year, a couple months ago. The very next day on the 9th of January, I wrapped up my results again, including all my SurveyMonkey files and PowerPoint presentation and the methodology I used to collect the data. And I sent that all off to the FDA, CDC, and NIH again. But Veronica, I'm not holding my breath because they haven't contacted me yet, and I doubt they will. It's really unfortunate, isn't it? You would think, you know, I'm a retired Air Force major guy. I shouldn't have to do this, right? This is their job to do. They're supposed to be protecting it. That's the purpose of the FDA and the CDC. They're supposed to be regulatory agencies that protect us, the American people, from anything that might be happening. That, and I'm not saying we don't know for sure, but boy, the evidence seems to be, the correlation seems to be very strong between the time that these safe and effective shots rolled out and all these. And remember, this is just one of the side effects, right? We also know about things like myocarditis, nerve damage, miscarriages, turbo cancers. There's all kinds of things happening these days with Americans.
Yes, it's true. In the perfect world, Tom, what further research or action do you believe are necessary to better understand the potential link between the vaccines and the observed phenomena in embalming practices, such as various types of blood clots, particularly those robbery ones?
Well, you know, I think the data already collected is enough to at least merit halting the COVID vaccination program until the FDA and CDC can rule out the vaccines as the cause of these strange and unusual blood clotting issues and all the other issues I mentioned a minute or two ago. One of the things I'm trying to do right now is I'm trying to work with a few cath lab workers. Mm. You know, the embalmers that I've talked to are pretty insistent that these things are forming pre-death. There's been some controversy about whether they form after death or before death. The embalmers I talked to believe they can be forming after death, but they're insistent that they're happening before death as well, because they're picking up bodies that are only an hour or two old, and they're finding them riddled with these white fibrous clots that they say there's no way that they could have formed in just the hour or two since the person passed. So they believe they are the cause of death. They are the cause of a stroke or heart attack. Obviously, if you get that in your system, it builds up to a point where it blocks off blood flow completely. You're going to get your stroke or heart attack. But one of the things I'm doing now is I'm trying to work with a couple of cath lab workers. A catheterization lab is a lab that removes clots out of living people. Wow. And up until 3 or 4 years ago, the only kind of clots they were removed would be the great jelly clots that I mentioned earlier, and then the chicken fat clots, which are much smaller, yellowish, and easy to tear, not these white fibrous clots. Well, for the last 3 years, they've been removing these from living people. And there's been cases, people can survive these if they catch them in time. So I'm trying to get a couple of whistleblowers right now to come out, but it's very difficult, right? Because we're talking about a cath lab usually has like a vascular surgeon in it, what's called a endovascular specialist, who's good at pulling out clots, also performing and reading angiograms, which are like x-rays that are taken of the clot while it's still in the person's, body. For example, like in the leg, if they have a deep vein thrombosis. Also usually has an anesthesiologist in the lab, nurses, a radiologist, all these people work in what's called a catheterization lab. And what happens is if they do discover clot, they'll go in the procedure, they'll try to be as least invasive as possible, and they'll go in with like little vacuum tubes that actually suck out clots. And if it's too large and they can't get to it that way, they can actually go in with almost like a scraping tool. It has like a little basket or claw on the end that you insert it up past the clot, then it opens up, and then you scrape along the vein or artery to pull the clot out that way. So they have several different techniques and tools they use to help get clots out of somebody, or they may just have to go in and actually cut open a vein or artery and then suture it back up. But that's kind of the last
resort. Is that office also in Ohio? How do they advertise their services, and how popular are they?
Yeah, I mean, you can find them all over the country. I think I looked it up on Google the other day. I believe there's 1,700 cath labs across the United States of America. So,
and you're working with several of them?
I'm working right now with two. Okay. that are trying to decide whether or not they want to come out and tell the world what they've been seeing the last 3 years. They're worried that if they do tell the world, they're going to have their license pulled. They're going to get ramifications against them, and Isn't that sad? It's sad that they have to worry about their career being at stake because they're speaking out about this.
Do you plan to compile any kind of reports on what you're seeing in these practices that collaborate with you?
Actually, there's been one other cath lab worker that worked with a doctor who has a YouTube channel over in the UK. His name is Dr. Philip McMillan. And he runs a YouTube channel called Vegan Health, V-E-J-O-N Health. And about a month ago, he had an anonymous whistleblower come on his a show on his Substack page. He couldn't do it on YouTube. He had to actually show it on Substack because he was afraid his YouTube video would get taken down. But if you go to his Substack page, he has a 52-minute video with this particular cath lab worker who's been working in a catheterization lab for over 20 years, and he's been extracting these clots, these white fibrous clots, out of living people for the last 2 years. For the last 2 years. And he says that now almost everybody that comes into that lab has these clots in them. Because when someone comes in with a clotting problem, they usually nowadays, he said in his lab, they'll give them clot-busting drugs first. And the clot-busting drugs do a great job of breaking down the grape jelly clots, which are a lot easier to dissolve. Mm-hmm. But they don't seem to be able to handle these things.
Right.
So they have to go in and physically get these out. He says now in his particular one cath lab, they do anywhere from 3 to 10 procedures per week, pulling these white fibrous clots out of living people in his cath lab alone. And he also, by the way, Veronica, has access to all the COVID vaccination records of all these patients, which is a link that the embalmers don't have that, right? The embalmed corpses, they don't know if the person's been jabbed or not. There is a case I'll tell you about in a second about where people can find out. But in this catheterization lab, this guy has access to all the patient COVID vaccination records, and he says 99% of the ones with these clots have anywhere between 1 to 8 COVID vaccinations. And he says the problem seems to be worse for those that have more COVID vaccinations. So again, you can hear his voice, but you cannot see him, and he did not identify who he was by name, out of fear that he's going to lose his job. You know, he likes his job, and he wants to keep his job, and there's just this tremendous fear in the medical industry of saying anything negative against the vaccines.
It's awful. Because
they see what happens to doctors that do, like Peter McCullough, Pierre Corey, Ryan Cole, all these people that speak out.
All our good friends. We know them very well, and we admire them a lot.
I don't know how people do it, Veronica, because I have a conscience. And if I was in a job like that, I would do what's right, you know, because if you don't speak out, then the carnage continues, right? Then people may continue to take the vaccines and may, if it's what's causing it, cause these problems to occur, right? So you might be, by not speaking out, you're sentencing people to a false sense of security, and they'll continue. And by the way, we know that the Big Pharma's not stopping, right? Mm-hmm. They're going to be coming out with more mRNA-based lipid nanoparticle technology delivery system shots in the coming years. Next year, I think they want to do a flu shot, an RSV shot, a shingle shot, all using the same technology. And if this technology is indeed what's causing these clots, then we've got a major disaster in our hands, you know. And like I said, the percentage of white fibrous clots the embalmer saw this year was only in 20% of their corpses. That percentage could go right back up again if more people start getting new shots that are using the same technology next year, and that's what's causing it.
Tom, thank you so much for trying to prevent this looming disaster and warn people about it. I truly appreciate your time today. Would you please tell us what's the best way to follow you and your work?
Yeah, people can contact me at Thomas Haviland at sbcglobal.net. And I'm happy to talk to anybody, especially embalmers. You know, I want to know what you're seeing in the embalming room. Whether you're seeing the clots or not, I want to know.
That was Tom Haviland, everyone. Thank you so much for watching. I'm Veronica Kirilenko of The New American Magazine.
Hi, I'm Alan Keyes. I'm the host of IMTV's daily talk show about news and events in America. And I want to say a good word for The New American Magazine. Not only because Alex Newman has joined us as somebody who is periodically hosting a show, but because New American Magazine represents a alternative media that is willing to tell people the truth. With so much fake news spreading about, and the fact that right now this country is in an existential crisis, we remember who we are and where we come from and what our principles are, or we die. Reading New American Magazine can keep you up to the minute on the issues that are challenging us as a people and on which that survival hangs. You can check it out and subscribe at www.thenewamerican.com.